Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
Don't front ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The King acting like a coward on Twitch. He thinks Dubon will have a better offensive year than Will Wagner, but he doesn't want to bet me. I said, whoever has the higher OPS plus 200 at-bat qualifier to trigger the bet, and he's backtracking. He's not. Will you accept the bet, Blinkers? On King's behalf?
No.
Will you accept the bet?
Anything.
Will you just take a bet with me? Will you take Mauricio Dubon, I take Will Wagner, OPS plus, whichever one is higher wins the bet, because we're talking about offense performance, but they have to have a 200 minimum 200 at-bats to qualify, because we don't want any injury, 50 at-bats, some fluky thing. Right. So they would have to both have 200 at-bats to qualify.
I mean, where are we stand on our bets anyway?
I think we're all paid up.
I don't know if we are or not.
What bets don't you think we're paid up on?
No, I don't even remember.
I think we're paid up. I brought in lunch once, didn't I? I brought you Panda.
Yeah.
I owed you a lunch. I brought you Panda. So I think we're paid up. Joe owes us bets.
Yo, Joe,
I'm not sure that he'll ever pay us up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care.
All right. Well, if you don't care, I don't want to force you into it. I'd much rather King have to pay me a bet, but he's backtracking. He's like, oh, you're an idiot, Bram. This is one of your worst takes. Dubon's going to be better offensively than Will Wagner. Okay, let's make a bet. And he's backtracking like Coward D. I can't believe this. It's a bad look. And then 75's like, I'll take this side of the bet. I can't trust you, 75. If you send your side of the bet to escrow, then I'll consider it.
Worried about getting paid?
Yeah, of course. I'm foolish to even be making a bet with King. He didn't pay me his first bet that he lost to me, which is foolish of me. A texter says fave is phonetically correct. Fave would rhyme with rad. Phonetically correct, but I don't think that people use that when they spell. A pessimistic Chad, Loperfito is worse than Jazz and or Jazz is worse than Jake and Chaz? ? I don't think Loperfito is a very good defender. Loperfito might be better against righties than those guys, but he also doesn't play a very high level of center field like Jake. I think Jake and Chaz are actually better than Loperfito. That might be an unpopular opinion, but
yeah, I understand how everybody got enamored with Joey Loperfito when he got called up.
He's a good looking guy.
Well, and he had a good season going in Sugarland, but at the same time, like if you just look at what you've seen since he's gotten to big league baseball. It's nothing that should be screaming to you that he's going to have great numbers.
He's a good-looking guy, right, Abigail? Loperfito?
Yeah, him and Shea Whitcomb, too.
Whitcomb, too? She was quick
really?
To get Shea.
Wow,
in there.
You just boom, boom. Oh, pew, pew.
Like, we weren't even
as
talking about Whitcomb, and she's like, oh, yeah, don't get
no, Shea. I was so excited when he played, like, a couple games on the Astros. So.
There you go. So, can we add Loperfito?
But we know he's going to be at a lot of Space Cowboys games this year.
Brad Ausmus, Jake Mariznick, Joey Loperfito, Shea Whitcomb, and Ezekiel Estacio, the most handsome Houston Astros in the history of the franchise. Have you ever seen Ezekiel Estacio, Abigail?
I don't even remember him.
I don't remember what he looks like.
I'm confident that you would think he's a very handsome man.
Now, if his name was Ezekiel Mustachio, then Sam would be a big fan.
Ezekiel Mustachio might be the most handsome man that's ever played in Astros history.
Huh.
Honey Glaze Branham says that Jeremy Branham at Humble High School was easily the worst left fielder. I never played left field. They stuck me up the middle, baby. Actually, they stuck me on the bench. I didn't get to play much. 713, although I was a career 400 hitter in high school, 2-for-5. Who are the worst defensive left fielders that you've ever seen in your life, Blinkers?
I think the one that comes to my mind immediately is Manny Ramirez. He was just a mishap waiting to happen. I mean, wasn't it the one time that he was actually trying to get inside the Green Monster door at Fenway and a ball was hit his way and he had to run out and field it? And then I think he ended up throwing somebody out. But it's like he was so aloof in the outfield that regardless of how talented he was as a hitter, he always comes to mind first as being a guy that could never and should have never belonged in the outfield.
Him cutting off that ball was my favorite Manny being Manny moment in history. I forgot about Manny.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
a great
is on
call.
My list.
The Manny cutoff is the I think, the funniest thing I've ever seen on a baseball field.
Yeah. Well, the other one that I, which would be, again, he didn't, I'm not sure for certain that he, I think he did play some left field, but Jose Canseco, anybody that can headbutt a baseball over the wall.
That's a good call.
You need to be on the list.
That's a good call too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, your dumb ass not only got under the fly ball, but couldn't get your mitt up in time. So your noggin took it over the wall for a home run.
To be fair, his head was probably larger than the natural skull he had.
I see where you're going there.
Probably. Who else you got?
My list was Jose Canseco, Pete Incaviglia.
Pete Incaviglia was brutal.
Yep.
Man, you got a bunch of good pulls.
Man Ram. Astro Carlos Lee was not great. And then two infielders turned outfielders that both swung really big, heavy bats, but were awful in the outfield. Juan Samuel, Alfonso Soriano.
I don't remember Juan Samuel.
Juan Samuel was a shortstop with the Indians coming up, and then he was the perfect candidate to be a DH, too. And they kept trying to, like, hide him in the outfield. And the ball, you know how baseball works, the ball found him, and he was awful. And then Soriano was...
Samuel had some curls.
And Soriano was a shortstop with the Cubs, and then they made him a left fielder, and he was awful.
Was he bad in the outfield?
Yeah.
I don't really remember his defense.
Yeah, he just, like, angles taken and just plays made. He had a strong arm, but, yeah, he didn't judge balls real well.
I remember Soriano would drop tanks.
Oh, God.
That guy was
swung
so
like a 38 or 40-ounce bat.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That guy would drop some
he
bombs.
And Juan Samuel. Juan Samuel played to, like, he was 40-something.
Yeah, Soriano was never a good defensive player, it looks like. No. Even on the infield, he wasn't very good. And then they moved him to the outfield, and they went off. I mean, yeah, it was still bad.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that big a difference. Like, his defensive value in the infield was pretty similar to his defensive value in the outfield. Not good, but didn't kill you. Yeah, that guy was – did he have a 40-40 year?
Who?
No, he did. He came a home run shy.
Soriano?
No, he did have a 40-40 year.
Or Samuel.
Soriano. Soriano hit 41 home runs, 41 stolen bases with Washington in 2006.
God, I forgot he even played with Washington.
It was his only year there.
Yeah, Cubs and Yanks is all I remember.
You remember he spent some time with the Rangers. Wasn't he in the A-Rod trade?
That one, maybe.
Pretty
the
sure
one that
was
rescinded?
No. The real one. The real one that got A-Rod to the Yankees.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure he was. Yeah, he was. Traded by the Yankees to the Rangers for A-Rod.
Huh.
That was it. That was the trade.
That's crazy.
It was Soriano to the Rangers for A-Rod in cash.
That's simply for a bat.
And then their player to be named later, which was like Joaquin Arias. Yeah, he was in that A-Rod trade. The worst left fielders that I kept an Astros theme here. Worst left fielders ever, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I think Yordan Alvarez wasn't a very good defensive left fielder. He's playable. He had a big arm, but again, give me range, give me speed, give me dudes who aren't going to crash into shortstops who are going out on fly balls, although the outfield does have the priority there. I think Altuve would be a better left fielder than Yordan Alvarez. So I have Alvarez on this list, but there's some that get worse. Carlos Lee was one that I had. El Caballo.
Mm-hmm.
He was so bad. Remember how fat he was?
Yeah.
He was a big boy.
That was one of the first things I started thinking about was, who are the guys that were just way too big to even be attempting to, like, chase down fly balls? Carlos Lee came to mind. And then when your nickname is the cows that are lined up on the fence in left field for El Caballo, I'm like, yeah, no.
That's not what El Caballo means.
Oh, it's a horse, right?
Yeah.
Because he got horses as part of the deal. But some people used to bring some, I think. They also used to have some other outfits out there, but yeah, he wasn't good.
I actually think that we underrate Carlos Lee's time with the Astros. Like, he came after Beltran. They didn't have playoff success. He signed a big contract. People act like he was a bum. People act like he was Jose Abreu. Carlos Lee had some good years with the Astros.
Offensively, yeah.
Yeah, offensively.
For sure, yeah.
He was probably a DH playing left field.
That's exactly another one of those guys.
He
yes.
had some offensive years, some good offensive years. Remember when the Astros had a logjam at first base? They had Bagwell. Lance Berkman was coming up.
Yep.
And they had this big lefty slugger named Darryl Ward.
Oh, big
who
girl.
Was a first base.
Tanks.
He was a DH playing first base. And as a way to try to get him in the lineup, they moved him into left field, and it was a train wreck. No business playing left field. Darryl Ward,
his dad,
one of the worst left fielders I can remember.
And they were like, oh, it's in his genes. I'm like, maybe the hitting part, because I remember the one he hit in Pittsburgh hit the river.
Was it the Allegheny?
Yeah.
Was that the river?
That's the one.
Yeah, yep. That ball was a bomb.
That was a monster shot.
I think to this day, there's only been like two home runs hitting the Allegheny.
Sounds right, because I know that was a massive tank job.
That was a bomb.
Yeah, but I do remember that he wasn't very good with a glove on his hand.
He was so bad defensively. So Yordan, really bad. Carlos Lee, really bad. Darryl Ward, really bad. And then the final left fielder that I have, that's one of the worst I can remember, in Astros specific from my point of view anyways. Remember when they tried to force Chris Carter into left field?
I was going to say, because he just at first base, to me, was a disaster. And another DH. And he struck out all the time. But, yes, Chris Carter was definitely one I thought of.
Yeah. So those are the – I like your list. Your list is very good. The four Astros that I think are really bad, Yordan, Darryl Ward, Carlos Lee, Chris Carter. Who are the worst outfielders you've seen? 713-780-ESPN. Texture says that Darryl Ward's the hitting coach for the Reds. I did not realize that. That's good.
Who knew?
Texture says Johnny Damon. I don't think Damon was a bad defender.
So either. No. I think he had some pretty good years.
Maybe late in his career he turned bad, but he always maybe was rangy, always had speed.
And as a Red Sox, he was always really good.
Remember, he was nuts. Like, there were stories that Johnny Damon, like, in the offseason as a way to get ready for the year, he would just start chasing cars in his neighborhood. Like, cars would be, like, driving in the neighborhood, and he would just start chasing after them to see if he could
keep up. So, unlike Mike Alstott, who used to just push cars around the neighborhood up hills, he'd take Volkswagens and push them up hills.
Would he?
Yeah, but I could see that from Johnny Damon. He always looked like, one year I went for Halloween as Johnny Damon.
Because really? I love Damon.
He had the big beard. He looked like a caveman, but it was always well coiffed, but he had the beard and
when
the
he was
whole
Red
thing.
Sox.
Yeah, but you think about, too, how many Red Sox quality outfielders go to Yankee Stadium to die?
See, Damon had some good years with the Yankees, but Jacoby Ellsbury was awful.
Ellsbury was awful, yeah. And now my guy that I'm wanting the Astros to look at.
Oh, Verdugo?
Yeah, Verdugo in a year was a disaster.
He's still
offensively.
Free. Yeah, kind of crazy he's still free.
It is.
Yeah, but I don't ever remember Damon being bad defensively. I used to like Damon.
I don't either.
He says his arm was pretty weak. That's okay. Like, you can have a bad arm in left field and in center field, especially left field Fenway. Yeah. You don't need a strong arm in left field at Fenway.
That's the biggest advantage to Altuve playing here and playing left field is he plays 82 games in left field with a short porch with a garage door.
Yeah, left field in Minute Maid is one of the easier left fields. Now, you do have the angles and
the
stuff.
The caroms are weird.
Yeah, but that's not like defensive prowess. Right. That's just learning the angles. So all these dudes who are bad left fielders that we brought up, how many do you think would have been better than Altuve is going to be in left? I think Altuve
he might be better than the entire list.
I think Altuve clears all these guys.
Because he's got speed. And you know, all we keep hearing about over and over again, but I can attest to the fact that he is strong. He is athletic. He is a good athlete. So if that's the case, and all we're worried about really is his arm and if height matters at all, like for someone that last week said, but is he going to take any balls away, you know, over the wall? No, but you know what? If he's quick enough to get into the gaps and take some fly balls away and he looks like he's comfortable, then he's probably better than my entire list.
I think he's better than my entire list, too. And look, I don't think Altuve is going to be good in left field. I really don't. And I can already know what's going to happen. Altuve is going to botch a play in left field and be like, oh, my goodness, this is what I was talking about. But I do think Jose Altuve, if he gets a good run of play in left field, will be less bad in left field than he is bad at second base. I do think that. Do I think he's going to be good in left field? No. Do I think he's going to be better than this list? Yes. Is he going to make some mistakes? Absolutely. But is he going to hurt the Astros less playing left field than he would at second base? I think so. And then you throw in the element of maybe having a really good defensive player at second base behind a couple of ground ball pitchers. I think it can make the overall defense a little bit better.
I want to hear it from those same group of people when he goes into the gap in left center and takes, you know, and ends up making a great play because of his speed. And he's probably going to have a glove the size of a garage.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you that his speed may be able to save a few runs in the gap, regardless of how bad he is with his throwing arm in left field.
That's what's the. I think that's why Myers is important, too. Like, if he's covering a lot of range, then Altuve doesn't have to cover as much range. Did you see Altuve coming into the dugout? I think it was McTaggart posted it. Here come the outfielders.
Yeah, I saw
he is. It seems like he's taking a lot of joy out of this.
It does seem like, you know, and sometimes I guess. It gets monotonous that every year you do the same thing, but it does seem like maybe that this has invigorated him a little bit more in terms of maybe the whole season because of the fact he's excited. And even if just defensively, even in his interviews, he sounds like, hey, I want to bring you back. He's not here, but we're all about winning. Let's go win. It seems like, you know, he's kind of reinvigorated everything about his attitude, which is great. Not that it was bad previously.
Right. Rocky says Richard Odago, massive, had a cannon, but slow as a snail. There are some thoughts he might have been enhanced. I didn't say that. I don't want to get sued. I mean, there were some
they
thoughts.
They were sponsored by Minute Maid, right? They had all kinds of juice.
That's so bad. Rocky, that's Cap. Myers plays the ball bad more often than not. Has to make up his track. Most defensive metrics love Jake Myers. Love.
We'll let you know Jake when he takes a bad route to a ball because he's done that.
Texture, was he really hurting them at second? I get he's not what he was, but I don't think he was horrible. I don't want to sit here and just throw out these advanced numbers, but there's one, defensive run saved, which I think is the most important, where Jose Altuve was literally the worst second baseman in baseball the last 3 years.
And even if you don't get to that level of analytics and you just say, was his range far less than when he came into the league? Yes. Is his throwing arm far less and it wasn't great from his heyday? Yes. His arm is terrible. His range is limited. And so he was not a great defensive second baseman.
Virginia says, is Altuve throwing out guys at home? No, probably not. But is he starting double plays when Ryan Pressly's on the mound that could have kept the Astros in front of the Tigers 2-1 in the eighth inning? Also, no. Right. Look, I don't think Altuve is going to be good in left, but I think he's going to be less bad.
Hit the cutoff, man.
Yeah.
Just make sure you hit. Make sure you make the expected plays. Hit the cutoff, man. And do your, you know, just do that. Your bat's going to more than make up for that as long as you're not creating runs for the other team by making mistakes.
It's a pick your poison, lesser of two evils. Like, no one thinks he's going to be good in left field, but is he going to be less bad? And the Astros think he's going to be less bad. Texture says Mo Vaughn. I don't remember Mo Vaughn ever playing the outfield.
I thought
he was always a first baseman. I don't remember him playing the outfield. Joe looks different
guy?
Today.
The Rangers
Juan
guy.
Juan Gonzalez?
No, Cruz. The one that screwed up in the World Series. No, in the World Series.
Oh, Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, Nelson Cruz.
He was like a DH for like the last seven years of his life.
Exactly. Yeah, because he made mistakes in the outfield.
That's right. I forgot about him. He cost them the World Series.
Yep, sure did.
Yeah, that guy was brutal. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to Who Said It. Killer Bees have been on a roll. I think Brian's got something up his sleeve. Brian was so giddy to play Who Said It today that he literally came into work on his day off to play Who Said It. And he's been waiting to do it for almost 2.5 hours. Who Said It next? It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. TreeMac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
Texture said the texture was thinking of Mo Vaughn, not Greg Vaughn. Or Greg Vaughn, not Mo Vaughn. Greg Vaughn did play the outfield.
Greg Vaughn, both his brother. Brewers.
He was a bad outfielder, too, wasn't he? Brian probably wasn't a great left fielder.
No, it was not. Not a lot of range.
Brian's off today. He's off Monday. He's off Tuesday. But because we've been smoking that behind.
Off.
And Who Said It? He came in on his day off, waited 2.5 hours to run the ship of Who Said It. So you know he's got a trick up his sleeve.
Is that the story we're going with?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. All right, yes, I've been here for 2.5 hours waiting for this.
He was sitting his lazy behind in his chair whenever I got into the studio today. All right, let's get into Who Said It. Five quotes, ESPN 97.5 personalities. We guess who said them after Brian reads them.
All right, quote number one. It's one of the worst things that's ever been done. And there's been a lot of bad things that have happened. But the absolute gist abortion that Paramount Plus put out, stealing the greatest video game franchise of all time, which actually has like a book series they could have based things off of, it's just an abomination to the Lord, and everyone who put that together should be sent to Guantanamo Bay.
What
it's about
in the
world? Series Halo on this Paramount Plus.
I think he's baiting us into death.
Is it the video game?
Well, he's talking about the show on Paramount Plus, Halo. But he references ruining the greatest video game franchise of all time in the quote. You want again?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Again, this is about the Halo TV series on Paramount+.
So they have a Halo TV series?
They do.
That's made after the game?
Yeah. It's they've done two seasons. I think the first season aired 2 years ago.
That has to be brutal.
I haven't watched it, but I've heard it's awesome. I've also heard it's not good. Not just from the person in this clip, but from many others.
Right,
anyway, quote one more time. It's one of the worst things that's ever been done. And there's been a lot of bad things that have happened. But the absolute gist abortion that Paramount Plus put out, stealing the greatest video game franchise of all time, which actually has like a book series they could have based things off of, It's just an abomination to the Lord. And everyone who put that together should be sent to Guantanamo Bay.
Who says Guantanamo? Who knows Guantanamo?
What was the word in there? Just abortion?
It was the absolute just abortion, yes.
I mean, I feel like it's too young for Lance.
But I'm saying, no, we know Paul knows.
Oh, I think it's, I mean, I think it's Paul.
My only question to you is, because of the fact that it's more off the beaten path of sports, we think it's Dell. It's Dell or Paul, and I'm leaning Paul.
Yeah, but Brian's out to get us today. That's the thing. But who am I comfortable losing with here? I mean, I'm going Paul. Okay. Phil's Pauly.
It's one of the worst things that's ever been done.
Okay. Yes. I thought I heard Granato.
There's been a lot of bad things that have happened.
Yeah.
But like the John absolute first? Just abortion oh, that Paramount like must put out.
Like John, when John connects from...
It sounded like Granato.
Yeah, you're right.
I was a little confused at first. I was like, how does Granato know the Halo show? I don't even know the Halo show.
So you didn't even know it existed?
I don't
know.
Okay.
All right. Well, shout out to Paramount Plus's marketing department.
I have Paramount Plus.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they apparently didn't advertise it enough. All right. Quote number two. How can people not take jokes anymore? It's amazing. Nobody can take a joke anymore at all. If you think you're targeted at all, you can't take the joke. Getting your balls busted is part of life.
That could be anybody.
That really could.
Can you read it again?
Please.
How can people not take jokes anymore? It's amazing. Nobody can take a joke anymore at all. If you think you're targeted at all, you can't take the joke. Getting your balls busted is a part of life.
I heard Lance.
See, I thought he'd be one of the newer guys, but I don't see Joe saying the last couple of words there.
No.
So I'm good with that.
Lance or John? Would John say that?
I don't know. It didn't sound like his cadence or the words he would use.
The cadence is what got me towards Lance initially.
I'm cool with that.
We'll roll with it.
How can people not take jokes anymore? It's amazing. Nobody can take. Honestly, nobody can take.
Somebody woke up the killer bees. If you think
you're targeted at all, you can't take the joke. Getting your balls busted is part of life.
It is part of life.
True words spoken by Lance Erline. All right. For the win already. Quote number three. It's still the safest way to travel. It's just less safe than it was in the past. At a point, you're like, when I get in the plane, you think to yourself, the odds are super low anything will happen. Now, instead of super, it's just super low. I could take away one super from the super low equation.
Are you killer G's?
Yeah. One more time, please.
It's still the safest way to travel. It's just less safe than it was in the past. At a point, you're like when I get in a plane, you think to yourself, the odds are super low. Anything will happen. Now, instead of super, it's just super low. I could take away one super from the super low equation.
Man, kind of dumbed down the tank. Makes me think Joe.
I was thinking the same thing.
But I also know that Paul was traveling, or supposed to, and then didn't.
I
think it's a G. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think he said flying, right? Did he say flying in the quote?
I don't think he said it.
He said it's still the safest way to travel, but not. Yeah. Is there flying in there?
I don't think the word flying is in the quote.
I'm pretty sure
you're
talking about flying. I think it's either.
I think the person says planes at some point, do they not? Yeah, anyway, it is about planes.
I think it's either Joe or Paul.
I feel Joe.
All right.
It's still the safest way to travel.
That's all right.
It's just less safe than it was in the past. At a point, you're like when I get in a plane, you think to yourself, the odds are super low. Anything will happen. Now, instead of super, it's just super low.
See,
I didn't take away one super from the super low equation.
See, I thought Dell was too cool to drop take a super away from the super low equation. Maybe I'm giving Dell too much credit for not being as cool as I thought.
Maybe so. All right. So, guys, got a chance to win here. Quote four. Twitter? Are you kidding me? It's like, sometimes it's like you porn. If you have the wrong keyword that you put in, search, it's amazing some of the stuff that shows up. Like, hey, What does this have to do with what I just searched? Nothing.
I'm leaning toward a non-married man. So
well,
I would
because
go
of, yeah.
Yeah.
Although you could get God if you're searching something that you didn't plan on.
But it's I think he says that it goes to the site. Can you read it again?
Yeah. Twitter? Are you kidding me? It's like sometimes it's like you porn. If you have the wrong keyword that you put in search, it's amazing some of the stuff that shows up. Like, hey, what does this have to do with what I just searched? Nothing.
I mean, I kind of hope it's Paul for the sake of the married guys.
Good Joe.
I think Joe could.
Yeah, so it's.
I think it's Paul, but
let's just roll with it.
Twitter? Are you kidding me? It's like sometimes it's like you porn. Keyword that you put in, search, it's amazing some of the stuff that shows up. Like, hey, what does that have to do with what I just searched?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing?
I don't think you're going to accidentally end up on porn on Twitter unless you type in something very risque. So I don't know what Lance is talking about. But, hey, I think that was something revealing about Lance just now. All right, 2-2, quote number 5 for the win. There's nothing fun to do outside in the snow. Everyone loves what the snow looks like. No one actually likes the snow. I mean, listen, you know, the sledding and all, that is fun. But the scraping the ice off your car, that's not fun. Like, there's just nothing fun about snow.
You're not on me. He lived in Green Bay. He got out because they were talking about the draft meeting in Green Bay. And John said there's still a chance that it could snow. And he said on Mother's Day 1 year, it snowed. Somewhat, Lance has never been in snow before because he was talking
ever?
About... No, he was talking about the hockey thing, and he said he's only been on roller skates. He's never even been on ice skates.
In his life, he hasn't been around snow?
And Dell said he's been on dates ice skating, but I don't think Dell really knows snow. So it's either Joe, Paul, or John anyway, because they've been in cold weather.
I don't think you have to be in snow to say that, but it sounds like you've heard this.
I don't know if I heard that exact quote. I know where I heard like conversations that might be... roping into this.
I'm not gonna stand in the
way.
Can
I have it one more time, Brian, please?
Yes. All right. Quote 5. There's nothing fun to do outside in the snow. Everyone loves what the snow looks like. No one actually likes the snow. I mean, listen, you know, the sledding and all that is fun, but the scraping the ice off your car, that's not fun. Like, there's nothing fun about snow.
I feel like that's John.
All right.
John or Joe or Paul, but I feel like...
The scraping the ice off the car makes it seem like they had to... Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Granato.
There's nothing fun to do outside of the snow.
Yeah.
Everyone loves what the snow looks like. Yeah. No one actually likes the snow. I mean, listen.
We should have known that.
You know, the
kind
sledding
of
and all that
take.
Is fun. But the scraping the ice off of your car...
Very masculine.
That's not
there.
Fun.
I mean, Paul is very
there's
masculine.
Nothing fun
it's
about
established.
Snow.
I like the snow. I think the snow is going to be fun.
I heard him talking today about the fact he tried out for the rugby team or for the Sabercats here and that you weren't supposed to tackle, but he just loves hitting so much he had to tackle anyway. I'm like, those guys had to run right over him.
Now you see what I mean about the masculine
those
thing,
though?
Those
rugby dudes are, like, strong dudes.
Yeah, but they were, like, the tryout guys, though. Not, like, the actual players.
Still, but if you're trying out, you probably have some experience in rugby.
I would like to know. The size of those guys.
Some TV station probably did a feature on it or something.
You like the snow? I like the snow.
I like the snow. I think you guys were right to focus in on someone that lived in the northern part of the country, though. Like that tape was
though.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's someone that has dealt with the snow like on an everyday basis in the winter, not someone who deals with it once every 3 years.
I like the snow like once or twice. Every few years.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why it had to be Joe, Paul, or John.
This is the conversation that I had with my wife and my family when I had opportunities to move back to cold weather cities. I'm like, you're going to be enamored with snow the first time it comes down. It's going to be so pretty and it's going to be fluffy and you're going to go do snow angels and snowmen and all that stuff. And then like in the next 24 to 48 hours when it gets slushy and then it freezes and you realize 8+ months of your life is going to be dealing with this crap,
yeah.
It ain't fun.
Yeah, it's fun like in, you know, Texas where you get it for
once every 3 to 4 years. Yeah.
You can play in it that one day and then you know it's gonna be gone. You know, city shuts down, so they don't ask you to go to work when there's snow and ice on the ground.
Living where those guys live, the city doesn't shut down for snow. It happens too much.
Cody says, hey guys, it's like the 10th time I've heard this segment. Just FYI, it's a really good segment. I don't know who Joe is, but it's pretty but it's pretty entertaining guessing all of the other guys and listening to y'all try and figure it out. Kudos. I'm glad Cody likes it.
Yeah.
You guys like it?
I enjoyed going Atlanta Falcons on that segment. That was fun.
I think this, of all the segments we do, we do 12 segments a day, 5 days a week. What is that, 60?
60, yep.
60 segments a week. This is in the low 50s for me. Low 50s for me. The Yankees are allowing you to wear facial hair now, so Brian could be a Yankee now, finally. What are the worst traditions in sports history? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What are the worst traditions in sports? 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. This, of course, is in honor of Hal Steinbrenner reversing the facial hair policy. No longer do the New York Yankees have to be clean shaven, which is funny because we were talking about
the other day.
And it's like, oh, okay, like this all of a sudden happened. But Steinbrenner, in recent weeks, I've spoken to a large number of former and current Yankees spanning several eras to elicit their perspectives on our long-standing facial hair and grooming policy, and I appreciate their earnest and varied feedback. These most recent conversations are an extension of ongoing internal dialogue that dates back several years, blah, 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 blah. It is appropriate time to move beyond the familiar comfort of our former policy. Now, he does say that they have to be well-groomed beers moving forward. So who's going to be the beard police that's deciding which of these are well-groomed and not?
And they have not addressed the length of hair.
Oh, really?
Yes, which that people brought up, too, because you know that Garrett Cole likes to get the locks long in the middle of the summer, too.
Mm-hmm.
That you can see some guys might be challenging some of this. But again, I was all over this the other day saying, as grown men, if you're telling me it doesn't change your performance one way or another, how the hell can a baseball team tell you what you can and cannot have on your face?
Because it's club policy and they're paying you tons
of
money.
It's ridiculous.
And they've did
it's stupid. It's antiquated. It's dumb.
They've done it for 150 years.
And they should stop.
They did.
And finally they did. Well, to some degree.
Yeah, to some degree they stopped. But it does beg the question, what are the worst traditions in sports? Matt Fortuna tweeted this out earlier. That apparently Lou Piniella was trying to get George Steinbrenner to change this way back in the day. Piniella told Steinbrenner, Jesus Christ had long hair and a beard. Why can't we have beards and long hair? George Steinbrenner would then pointed to a pond beyond the outfield fence to Lou Piniella. And he goes, you see that pond? Walk across that pond and you can have a beard and long hair.
That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good line from George Steinbrenner. So anyways, what are the worst traditions in sports? Which ones stick out to you that are bad, like this one was bad?
I struggled with this one. I know a lot of people hate the wave.
A lot of people hate the wave.
But that's not specific to a team.
Yeah, I don't really – it's sports tradition, though. It's a sports tradition. I don't really mind the wave.
I don't have a problem with it. I don't do it, but I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. Like, let fans fan. Here are a few texts on this. A&M's midnight pep rally is cringy.
Okay.
That one is pretty cringy.
I mean, taking time out of your day to just learn all the chants and everything, like that is.
I don't mind that as much because, like, at least it's good school spirit, right? Like, I like good school spirit, but the whole
shouldn't you
like,
already know?
Yeah, I mean, you have to learn it at least once.
You're right.
Maybe you can do it at orientation instead of midnight yell. I mean, it's like a giant pep rally, but the whole like Texas giving Big Brother energy and doing that little gesture. It's weird.
All the milkman too. The milkman.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, they're all yell leaders. There's no female cheerleaders at Texas A&M.
I the whole thing too about the dudes with the whole with the tight white outfits and all doing all that stuff. It is a little cringeworthy at times.
713-780-ESPN. The worst traditions in sports. Alex Bregman in the infield pop up with runners in scoring position was a tradition unlike any other. It's a pretty good one.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad.
Rockets losing to the Warriors is my least favorite tradition.
Stop it right now.
What's wrong with that? I didn't say that.
I mean, come on.
It kind of is.
We're talking realistic.
That's not realistic?
I can tell you what a lot of people hated that the Spurs fans loved. Those baseline bums forever and a day, the tradition of every time the visiting team was announced, they all brought out newspapers and held them up. That people, all the visiting teams hated that, but I thought that was a pretty cool tradition.
I always thought it was a bad tradition. Do they do this for every NASCAR race? Or I don't know. Maybe even just maybe it's just the Indianapolis 500. I don't know. But when they get on the podium and they're spraying each other with milk, that is the stupidest thing. Like milk is gross.
That's the Indy 500.
It stinks. It gets all up in your clothes. Like, why are you dousing yourself in milk?
Yeah, that's the tradition at the Indy 500, and I've oftentimes thought about that because they still got to do the whole press run. And they got to do all the interviews and everything. But yet it starts out with they have to drink the milk and then like champagne or other things, get it dumped all over them. And then you don't get to like change clothes and take a shower. Now you're still in your little onesie suit, racing suit. And then you got to go with dried milk all over you to do all these interviews.
Yeah, that's
pretty funky.
That to me is the worst tradition. One of the worst traditions in sports. A&M's midnight yell is probably the worst, says Honey Glaze Branham. The fans need to practice how to cheer the day before the game with their male cheerleaders, That's what Abigail was saying. The annual This Is Our Year from the Cowboy fans. That's mean. Taking a shot at the Cowboy fans.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Why am I not more traditions coming to me that are.
Texter says anything from Aggieland. It's like you guys don't know that we're the home of the Texas A&M Aggies, and we're not going to say anything derogatory about Texas A&M. What chance in wrestling?
Is the horns down dumb, or is that them being too sensitive?
The horns down at college games when they aren't even playing Texas. That's a fair one. If you're playing Texas, I'm all for the horns down.
Okay.
All for the horns down if you're playing Texas. But when you're not playing Texas and you're doing the horns down, that's not great. It's like having in your fight song, Saul Varsity's horns off.
Yeah.
Not a great look.
No, I agree with that.
Not a great look. It was a true tradition for the Rockets to lose to the Supersonics. That's a weird one.
God, there's a couple.
Oh, here's one. Tech throwing tortillas on the field.
Oh, that's still a hot button.
I'm not a Tech guy, as you know. That one doesn't bother me. I actually like that tradition.
There was a couple.
It's cool.
With the Rockets, too, that were mishaps. One, I think they did something similar because I know that it got my Spanish announcer very fired up. And then when we had Yao, I believe that they through fortune cookies, and you're not supposed to. That wasn't good either.
Was that? I mean, it was racist.
Yes.
Yeah, that one's not great.
That's not a good one.
That one's not good. How do you feel about the octopus throw for the Detroit Red Wings?
I mean, it is kind of gross, but that's like a tradition like any other, too, right? It's been going on so long, they're not going to stop it. Like
octopus one's kind of gross. That one's kind of gross. I just throw the old hats out there like everybody.
For the hat. That's for the hat trick, right? The octopus is for something else?
Yeah, throw the hat out there.
Yeah.
How about the silence in golf? You think it's a bad tradition?
No.
No, I don't think so.
I think it's a necessity. Just look at the Phoenix Open.
Seventh inning stretch, bad tradition?
No.
No, I like the seventh inning stretch. The Waves mentioned, how about the Gatorade shower?
I don't mind that.
Yeah, I don't mind the Gatorade shower. The milk, to me, it just feels gross.
Yeah, I mean, look, coming from America's Dairyland, it doesn't take long for milk to just start getting nasty smelling and start drying up. It's not, no. It's bad.
You have any traditions, Abigail, that you don't like?
Doing the killer bees?
I'm trying to think.
I
don't know. I feel like this is not like a hateful one, but it's a tradition like everybody is like so used to. Take me out to the ball game, like singing that song. It's not bad. I'm just saying it's so repetitive.
You don't like take me out to the ball game during the seventh inning stretch?
Come on.
No, I'm not saying that I don't like it. I said that's a tradition I've been thinking about that's so regular, you know?
Yeah, every game.
Yeah.
Every game. That's like a fabric of baseball.
I don't think I hate traditions. I feel like it makes the team what it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I like most traditions. The Yankees thing was antiquated, outdated. The yellow practice, a little weird. The milk thing to me, that might be my least favorite one. Mr. Carter says Chiefs fans saying Chiefs in the national anthem. There's a lot of teams that do that, though, if they have something that's relative. Like, so, Rocket fans do that with Rockets. And then, like, UCF Knights, the Knights, whatever. Whatever it says in the lyrics of the anthem, they do the Knights.
You know that Paul Gallant does that for?
No.
He said it. He played the national anthem on the air to say that when his last name is mentioned in the national anthem.
Wait, actually?
He stands up and cheers every time.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you the one that's now going to be very much scrutinized is the Braves and the Chiefs for that. Tomahawk chalk. Chop. My wife heard it the other day, and she was like, are they still doing that?
I don't think it's ever going to go away.
I mean, I don't think you can force people to stop it.
No.
I mean, look, soccer's doing all kinds of expletives and vulgarities in their soccer stadiums in Europe, and they get away with it.
The winning coach of the Mayo Bowl getting doused in mayo. Oh, that's brutal. I didn't realize they did that. That's worse than the milk, I think. Jerry Jones being a terrible GM. Here's a text for the Braves, Tomahawk Chop.
Yep.
White only at Wimbledon. The clothes, not the people.
Yeah.
I think that's
run its course too.
Like, yeah, I don't mind.
The U.S. Open goes way over the top, but I think they were almost trying to send a message to Wimbledon at the time. Like, the players should be able to wear whatever they want.
I don't mind I think it adds to the pedigree of Wimbledon. Kind of like the Masters with their caddies, they have to wear, what are they called? The little onesies?
Bibs. Yeah.
Like, they can wear shorts everywhere else, but at the Masters, they have to wear the cover-ups.
Right, right.
I like that.
Yeah, they're coveralls, I think.
Coveralls, like, yeah. I like that. Like, it adds to the prestige, now, I think, of the Masters.
I think from that standpoint, for that tournament, I get it. So for Wimbledon, I guess. But, like, remember forever in a day on the golf course, you had to wear a collared shirt. And then I think Tiger was the first. That kind of took the mock to the T-shirt.
Yeah,
but then tennis
collar.
Always were supposed to wear a polo shirt, too. And then they kind of took that to the next level, and Agassi and those guys were just wearing straight T-shirts.
Image is everything.
Yeah.
That biography, really good, with Andre Agassi.
Is that right?
Yeah. All right, those are the worst traditions in sports, according to The Hive. 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to our car wreck of the day. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5. ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. I'll give you a f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Mr. Carter B says the play ball before baseball games. He doesn't like that tradition, which I agree with. I think it is a little overkill.
Why?
He says you already have the guy throwing out the first pitch. Why do you need somebody to yell play ball?
I mean, if it's a chance for a kid to get on the field and yell it into the microphone,
yeah.
Cool. So what?
I don't need a kid yelling play ball for me to get ready for the game. He says Marky Mark is over here doing an entire speech about something. I don't care. Play ball. So that was opening day 2023. Yeah, I think they're a little redundant. The champ of the day quickly became a tired tradition.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Glad we don't do it.
No, we just do car wreck of the day.
We do the opposite.
We just do the polar opposite of that. All right, car wrecks of the day, 713-780-3776. What do you have, Blinkers?
I got a good one today.
How do you know?
Because Abigail and I talked about it. The fact that a lot of guys, now that these podcasts come out, a lot of these stories, like yesterday's story about Shaq, come out with, like, the truth be told. But we've had conversations before about the real ones in the NBA and how you don't mess with them because they can have things done and they can do things. Udonis Haslam did a podcast with, of all people, two of those guys I used to talk about, Zach Randolph and Tony Allen, and he talked about the fact that you can talk a lot of crap on the court, but that certain things when said, especially by, like, certain players that played on the Celtics, it ain't over.
But I would say this, man. I just come from a place where you just can't say what you want to say to people.
Right.
There come consequences with that. And they got to a point sometimes where they used to say things on the court to people where I just didn't think was okay.
Right.
And I'm just leaving it.
I mean, the heat of the battle, man. You know, you got to expect.
Yeah, okay. And then, well, we from the trunk going to get popped and the whole park going to get aired out. Let's keep it real, dog. If you talk like that at the park, the trunk going to get popped and this in there.
Yeah.
So, like, why just because we on this stage, it's okay now? Nah, same rules apply. Be respectful. It's right. competition, right. but ain't got to be no whole ass bitch ass and all that. Yeah. We ain't doing, what? Right. Who are you talking to?
Right.
He wants Paul
Pierce. Talking to me. Z-Bo, you, now, I don't know if Z-Bo remember this. You remember when we was in Portland and Ruben Patterson said what he said? You remember Z-Bo came out of the locker room. I was standing next to their locker room.
I'm not really sure. I just heard.
He is extremely upset still at Paul Pierce. Tony Allen was like, you got to bury the feud. And he was like, we ain't burying the feud. Paul Pierce needs to talk to me.
Huh. So they want to fight.
It's a car crash.
Let them fight. I'm pro fighting. If people want to fight, let them fight. Why not?
You're an instigator.
Yeah. Correct. Sell it, market it, put it on pay-per-view.
Have you ever gotten in a fight? Like in a physical
Verbal fights, tons of them.
Oh, okay. Twitch. Yeah.
No, X. I don't really fight with the Twitchers. They're Twitter. All idiots. They're all beneath me. I don't deal with Twitchers.
Yeah. X, Twitter?
Arguments, yeah, sure. Usually only if they come at me first, though. Like I said, I'm a counterpuncher. Floyd Mayweather Jr.
That's fair.
Yeah. I am a bit of an instigator. You're right about that, though. You read me well. Car wreck of the day for me, MLB and ESPN breaking up. ESPN, ESPN sucks. Like, I know we work at ESPN, but ESPN sucks. Like, I'm so over ESPN. ESPN getting rid of baseball. They've gotten rid of baseball tonight. I like the college basketball, the NBA stuff that they do. Like, I don't like their production. I think it's far worse than TNT. I don't like these talking head shows where they yell at each other in the morning. ESPN's lost its fastball. I'm on Major League Baseball side of it, and I'm usually not because I'm not a Robert Manfred guy. I think he's a bum. But ESPN's worse. ESPN and MLB breaking up, good. As a baseball lover, good.
Where do they go?
Anywhere. They can go to TNT. They carry baseball. They can put more stuff on MLB Network. They're probably going to go streaming with Apple TV. Netflix has been a player.
That sucks for all of us.
I have Netflix. I have Apple TV.
I'm just saying, but everybody else for me. Isn't you. It doesn't suck for you. It sucks for a lot of other people.
Have you seen the viewers of ESPN? How many people don't have ESPN now from 10 years ago? That has also went down.
I think it sucks for a lot of people. I don't think Manfred's wrong in the fact that ESPN scaled back how much attention they play to Major League Baseball, but at the same time, giving up that platform and that many games a week and all the things that they were getting, I'm curious if they're going to find another home for that.
Oh, no doubt. There will be plenty of suitors. It might not be on antiquated cable right. television. Right. It might be on Apple TV, whose production is fantastic. Maybe it's on Netflix. No problem. I got Netflix. I'm on Major League Baseball side of this. Hopefully they end up with a really good deal. Josh from Seabrook, car wreck of the day, the Yankees clean shave rule, about time. Brandon T, car wreck of the day, Alex Bregman and the Jabronis, good call. One other thing about Major League Baseball leaving ESPN, I don't have to deal with that bum Carl Ravage anymore calling Astro
games.
That's
what I thought you were focused on.
I'm happy about that. Brandon T, car wreck of the day, Alex Bregman and the Jabronis, the Boston Bros. Yeah, that's annoying. It's super annoying.
Let's get Ravage hired by whoever gets the new baseball
team. No, he can stick to ESPN calling SEC basketball. Car wreck of the day, backing out on a bet. That is a good car wreck of the day. Alex, car wreck of the day is Brian, calling him soft for not working today. He didn't work, but he came to play. Who said anyone? Made it. I guess it made it worth it.
Started out too long.
Jasper said, hey, I love the champ of the day. The wheelhouse could do no wrong.
Woo!
That's what Jasper.
Enjoy your weekend.
Jasper was a big fan of the wheelhouse. Yeah. He was. What's winning? We should let Abigail pick.
Abigail, you pick.
Abigail, what's the worst car wreck of the day that we've mentioned?
Honestly, Jules is pretty bad.
Who was the guy?
Yeah.
Udonis Haslam. Congratulations. You're the winner of car wreck of the day. It's going to do it for us. Thank you to Abigail for your great work. He's Blank. I'm Brandon. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday. Goodbye.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.